I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about messianic salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this message and this message alone unleashes the power of God to save everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles, and salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our absolute greatest need. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Loren Jacobs coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. That's right. Jesus made me kosher because being Jewish and believing in Jesus really go together so beautifully. And my guest today is Bruce Rubin. Bruce is a fellow Messianic Jewish believer. And Bruce, I am so glad that you could be with us on Jesus Made Me Kosher today.
Well, thank you, Rabbi Loren. It really is a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for asking me.
You are so welcome. Well, Bruce, let's start off with your story. How did the living God, the God of Israel, the three-in-one God, reveal himself to you and reveal that Yeshua is our Jewish Messiah? How did Jesus make you kosher, Bruce?
It's a 16-year story, actually, Rabbi Loren. I was raised in basically a Reformed Jewish home in New York City. And my parents, they were the best parents anybody could ever want, just beautiful parents. And they wanted me to know my religion. They loved the tradition. They loved being Jewish. And I would say, though, that we were Reformed and we didn't go to temple all the time. We didn't keep a kosher home. But they loved the tradition. They loved being Jewish and everything that was associated with it. So they set out on a course to enable me to kind of follow what they did. And so they sent me to Hebrew school, and even for a time to yeshiva, you know, special school to learn about being Jewish Judaism. I made my bar mitzvah when I was 13 years old, and they spent far too much money on the party. I often like to say, you know, there was more emphasis on the bar than on the mitzvah, but they wanted to follow through on all the things that they thought that they should do for their Jewish son, you know? And so I did. I had all the opportunities that any young Jewish boy would need. And so I went through all that. And at the end of my training and after my bar mitzvah, and I stopped going to Hebrew school, you know, after my bar mitzvah, I felt like I had achieved all the things that I was supposed to achieve, but I didn't know God. And I remember feeling that all those years ago. It's 50 years ago. But I remember that I did not know God, and I, for years, and especially like for the last 25 years or so, I would say I could not get my arms around God. I didn't know him, and I longed for that. I really wanted that, and I just always felt like something was missing out of the training, and just something big was missing. And so because of that, and I didn't have the answers, and just generally the way that I felt, I settled into a secular life, and I lived that life into my young 40s. However, after I graduated college, and I went to my first job at the JCPenney company I was a buyer. And a fashion buyer, and I worked for a gentleman who was the store manager. His name is Wayne Sullivan. He was my first boss, my first professional boss, I should say, after I graduated from Eastern Michigan University. And I had a management degree, a bachelor's of science in management. And so I went to work for this wonderful company and this wonderful man. His name is Wayne Sullivan. Well, I wasn't there very long, and he knew I was Jewish. And Wayne, one day he asked me to his office, and it wasn't often that you know that I got a chance to kind of hang out with the store manager, the big boss. But I was happy to do it, and I went there, and I thought he was going to talk about performance, but he didn't. He had his desk completely clean, this big wooden desk, a beautiful office, completely clean, and it was the first time, Lauren, that anybody had ever really told me about Jesus. My boss is telling me about Jesus Christ, and keep in mind, like, I'm a New York Jew. You know, no, there weren't the opportunities for me to be in places where before that. I don't remember anybody ever telling me about Jesus before I was 20 years old and working. And Wayne Sullivan's telling me about Jesus. And I thought, no, I don't want this. I wanted all the power that a college degree would bring. I wanted all the money and influence and everything that a job would bring, a managerial job, and I rejected it. I clearly rejected it, even though he was the boss. Well, Wayne, bless his heart, he just started something that day, because over the next 16 years, wherever I would go, I would be traveling to another state. I'd be on an airplane. I would be in. I'd be working out in a gym. You know, people would talk to me about Jesus. And one of the most interesting stories, I think, was I was a marathon runner at the time, and I used to go for very long runs. And typically on Wednesday mornings at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up and I'd do my long run, a 20 miler. And so it's in the middle of the night, really dark, and I'm running, and I run into the pastor of a church, of all places. And I got to know him well, and we would meet regularly, and we would run together, and he'd tell me about what his message was going to be on Sunday, and we'd sing songs together, and it was really a nice way to run 10 or 20 miles. And I just thought it was very interesting that I ran into him, but he was just one of many. And then Wayne Sullivan would still stay in touch with me. He had retired. He moved away to Kansas City to retire, but he'd stay in touch with me. And it was some 16 years later that Wayne called me and said, "Bruce, you've been heavy on my heart. I've been thinking about you, praying for you. I just felt led to tell you to read Isaiah 53. And so I didn't have a Bible, certainly didn't understand what Isaiah 53 was, but I remember I was at the time the director of human resources at a hospital, and I remember hiring this nurse. Her name was Lily, and I remember when interviewing Lily, she had this, like, Jesus thing around her neck. And so I'm thinking, okay, Wayne, I'll read Isaiah 53. I don't have a Bible, but I knew where I could find one. So the next day at the hospital, I'm looking for Lily. And I found Lily in her office, and I told her about Wayne Sullivan. I told her about Isaiah 53. I said, "Lily, do you have a Bible? I'd like to do as Wayne requested." Lily says, "I don't have a Bible, but many, many years ago, the Lord put it on my heart to memorize Isaiah 53, and she began to recite it chapter and verse.
Really?
And it was one of the most remarkable things. Well, I didn't really know this at the time, but Lily was the wife of a pastor of a Christian church. And she would say at women's retreats, for years after that, how remarkably some Jewish man walked into her office at a hospital and asked her about Isaiah 53, and she was prepared to recite it. And the women at the retreat, they just had a wonderful time laughing and carrying on over that story. And it just became just this beautiful part of, you know, how I found Christ. I was just, it was so remarkable to me, but it really was the last and final step of a 16-year search where God, I think, he just kept parading people, really, in front of me wherever I went. And I guess I was just smart enough to realize that there was a plan here. It is something I had to take seriously, and I did. I finally did after 16 years, and it was a short time later that I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, I began to attend church. I began to read the Bible. And as I started to kind of connect dots, you know, the veil was lifted, and that the veil being lifted and the discussion about that is very meaningful to me, because I just think that over the years, you know, that I would tell people about my story, especially Jews, you know, unsaved Jewish people. I'd tell them about the story, and, you know, whether it would be my cousins who were physicians, you know, in other states and thought I was crazy, or just people that I would meet along the way. And the veil shielded them from the truth, and I just felt completely blessed, and that I was able to – I was driven to learn the word, and therefore the veil got lifted. And so whenever, you know, I hear a sermon on the veil, I mean, it's so real to me because the veil was there. You know, I wanted God. I couldn't know him. And I'm talking Jehovah God. You know, I couldn't know him. And the veil was fully in front and keeping me away. So as I begun to read the Bible and I got to know the man Jesus Christ, and the veil was lifted, I finally, it was through that experience that I got to know Jehovah God, the God that I always wanted to know. But it was through Jesus Christ. It was the man that God became, you know, God in the flesh, you know, God with skin on, you know, that made it possible. I think, you know, Christians, they'll say, you know, that Jesus had to be born, he had to live, he had to die the way he did so that we could all have salvation. And I mean, I've discovered that it's more than that. That might be the most important point. But for me, it was so that a Jewish boy who wanted God but could never get his arms around God could know God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that I could have done it. I think that God knew. I think Jehovah God knew that there are lots of folks that would have a really hard time knowing him, and so that he had to do this miraculous thing and be here with us so that we could know him by knowing the man. And that's how it happened for me. And it's been now 22 years, and the beautiful thing about it is I knew the tradition. I knew the holidays, but I didn't understand the significance of the holidays, those Jewish holidays, what they meant. You know, certainly what the salvation significance of the High Holy Days were. And it was through this this experience that Jesus made me kosher. I think that's just such a beautiful way to say it. It's very upsetting to me that my Jewish family, almost all of my Jewish family, except for a few, they believe, as most of the Jewish community believes, you accept Jesus, you're walking away from Judaism. You're walking away from your people. I had a rabbi tell my mother one time, your son's killing the Jewish religion. But that's not at all true. We know that when you accept Jesus, you are driven to actually know your Judaism more. And so it's a lie of the devil, I believe, that that when you accept Christ, you turn from your Jewish roots. And in my case, and in certainly so many, almost I would say all of the Jewish people that have accepted Christ that I've met over the last 20 something years, they all say that they embellished their Jewish faith more as a result. And it's all because once you meet the man, once you meet Jesus, you want to know everything you can about him, Old and New Testament. And so you start to study it. You start to learn, and you become more Jewish. So that's how Jesus made me kosher.
Well, that was great, Bruce. Thanks for sharing your 16-year journey. Maybe, well, actually even longer. And thank God for the Wayne Sullivans and the Lilies and the others that God sent across your path, giving you spiritual seed that took at least 16 years to blossom.
Well, you know, I like to say that, you know, I wasn't the original stiff-necked Jew, but I was one in a long line of many, you know. And for me, I was just blessed, you know, that the veil was lifted and I saw the truth. And I've been for the last 22 years wanting to tell the story, my story, wanting to explain to all, you know, my family and my old friends back in New York and to other any Jews that I meet that this is the most natural thing to do, to accept Christ. And as any Jew knows, it's difficult because most people just don't want to even give it the serious consideration. I have a very intelligent and successful brother-in-law. He's not Jewish, who lives in New York, and he's a developer, very successful real estate developer. Very wealthy, and he's got 2 master's degrees and just great wisdom. And, you know, and I've said to him, you spend all of your time on these matters for wealth and success, but you won't read the Bible and so that you can understand. This is your eternal destiny that we're talking about. And just like my Jewish cousins in New York who are doctors, practicing medical doctors, these 4 brothers, they have spent their time getting educated and creating wealth, but they won't even consider listening to somebody who's very willing to give them the truth and tell them how I got to this point. They just think that I'm doing something terrible. And I think that's probably the experience that the Messianic Jewish community feels all the time. I think it's very frustrating, but we have to keep trying to get through. But it's pretty frustrating that they won't even give any consideration. They're certainly students and knowledgeable and have the ability to learn, but they won't even consider the possibility of this truth. And it's pretty frustrating, but for the last 22 years, I have been trying to, get this message out. And I've enjoyed doing it, and not an easy thing, as I'm sure many listeners on the call would attest to.
Bruce, you know, it is frustrating because you and I know that Jesus is the wonderful Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world. He's the King of the Jews. And when a Jewish person like you encounters the King of the Jews, that's the most Jewish thing that any Jewish person can do.
The most natural thing to do. And I've thought about that so often because I do think that the devil is trying to keep the chosen people from their God, from their God, by making them think that is unnatural. It's wrong for a Jew to accept Jesus when it is the most natural thing to do. And if they would just take the time to listen to the folks that are willing to tell the story, I think that their eyes would be opened. But sometimes it's difficult to get past the first sentence. And you know what it's given me not only that personal relationship with God, but I like to say that as a result, I feel blessed in that I've discovered the gift of contentment. I'm married to Kim. We live in Troy, and I have four children. Julia, who's 17, is still living with us. The other children are older and have begun lives of their own. But, you know, I mean, I'm just in this great marriage. Kim is accepted the Lord when she was 14 years old. She's been a Christian just about her whole life. She's on staff at our church. You know, so we're in a great Christian community, and Julia won't miss a Wednesday night. You know, she's always there at the youth group, and she's very enthusiastic about God. You know, we have this gift of contentment through the peace that the Messiah, Jesus, has provided. And, you know, I've got this bumper sticker, No Jesus, No Peace, K-N-O-W. No Jesus, no peace, K-N-O-W. No Jesus, no peace, N-O, Jesus, no peace. So K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O, peace, K-N-O-W, peace. N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. And that bumper sticker is like one of my favorite things because it really is my life. It's like since I got to know Jesus, I've got peace in my life. I've got the gift of contentment. Even when the trials and the troubles of the world come along, I just feel like I can deal with this stuff so much better than when I didn't have Jesus in my life.
Bruce, that's so great to hear how God got a hold of a nice Jewish boy who grew up in New York like you and revealed to you that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah and the Prince of Peace, and met your desire to find God. What would you say to Christians? A lot of Christians think that, you know, the Jewish people were really close to God and that we really know the Bible. And some Christians even think that, like, you know, Jewish people apart from Messiah are saved. What would you say to a Christian who thinks that Jewish people are close to God and know the Bible and, you know, in a right relationship with God?
I've actually studied it quite a bit. I wanted to understand, you know, why is it that most Jews are secular, that they don't have a relationship, they don't know God? You know, how did that happen? Why did it happen? Something must have happened. And I just think that, you know, over the years, many years, it's probably 2300 or 2400 years over time, you know, the rabbis over the years, they were commenting on the law, on the original Mosaic law, and their comments became in many, many volumes of books. It became very complex. The volume, instead of just a Bible, it became many, many volumes of books. The rabbinic law, basically. I think that people then didn't read it, so they didn't read their Bible. They went to the rabbi, the teacher, and so they didn't read the Bible. They didn't know the Bible. They didn't turn to the Bible. I think that's how people ended up. That's how Jews became very secular, generally speaking. I think that they just grew away from the things that we hold dear today simply because it became so complex. And you know, it is true. When man, God had really the perfect plan. As a matter
Bruce,
of fact,
I'm gonna need to cut, you know, bring this to a conclusion because we're almost
okay.
out of time. But I
okay.
think you're right. You know, we got away from the Bible, and, you know, a lot of modern Jews have adopted the secular humanism of our culture, and we're not close to God. And we need those Wayne Sullivans and Lilies to tell us how Jesus can make me kosher. Bruce, thanks for sharing your story today. So thanks for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher. You were really great. Well, this is
thanks.
Rabbi Lauren, and you've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and I want to invite everyone to our Bible study this evening at 6:30. Rabbi Glenn is starting a whole series on the history of the northern and southern kingdoms and the lessons we can learn from this time in Israel's history and the lessons that our nation today needs to learn, because there's so many parallels between Israel back then and the United States today. So you're welcome to join us. And again, Rabbi Lauren, thanking you for listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.